Welcome into the Monday Scramble Podcast. Jay Coffin here with Rex Hoggard and Ryan Lavner, my two trusty cohorts here at Oakmont. And fellas, the 116th U.S. Open's about ready to kick off, and we've been here for a few days marinating. So Rexy, we'll start with you. What so far is at the top of your mind for biggest stories?
So far, it's been the golf course. It's all we've talked about, really. Oakmont, it's such a difficult golf course. They call it the most difficult golf course in major championship golf. I don't know if you'll find many guys around here this week that'll disagree with that. My only hope is that we're not having the same conversation on Sunday afternoon. My hope is that when the tee shot goes in the air tomorrow at 6:45 a.m., that's it. I don't want to hear about the golf course anymore, because if that's the case, then something went wrong. And I think after last year at Chambers Bay, I would just rather focus on the golf. And how many guys are going to potential favorites this week? I mean, off the top of your head, who would be the favorite this week?
Jason Day. He's the world number one. He's playing better than anybody. He's long. He's accurate off the tee. He's got the best short game. So Jason Day would be the favorite, of course. But the thing that's striking me, Rex, is how different this is from last year. People were talking about the golf course at Chambers Bay. It was how tricked up it is, and the greens are bumpy, and it's kind of unforgiving, and it was like they were playing on the moon. This is a traditional U.S. Open golf course that we're used to seeing, with thick rough and really narrow fairways, rock-hard greens, and probably the quickest greens that these players will face all year long. So that's what strikes me here, and it doesn't really favor anybody. You can look at long hitters. They'll have success here if they put it in play. And you could also look at, you know, a Jim Furyk, Zach Johnson type who are, you know, accurate off the tee, and they're really not going to make doubles and triples.
And that's what's funny too, is you're talking about the golf course and everything. You know, we're at 52 weeks ago, we're there, and guys are just hammering that place, right? The greens, the browns, the broccoli, the cauliflower, whatever it was. And by all accounts, this week the winning score is going to be much, much worse than last week. So it is, basically, it doesn't matter what you do to the place, as long as you have pure putting surfaces, really, they're not going to say much, and they're as pure as can be out there. I just got done talking to Phil, and, you know, talking about putt, you know, these greens might be a little bit more difficult to putt than Augusta National. So I agree with you, Rexy, that the golf course is it. It's always going to be it, but I hope like hell come Sunday we don't even worry about it. But it's back to those top three guys. Jason Day would be the guy who would be the favorite on my list, but I kind of like Rory as a 1B. I think I would probably put Dustin Johnson as third before Jordan Spieth, and Jordan Spieth fourth, still because he is the defending champion, and, oh, by the way, he's Jordan Spieth and finds a way to get the ball in the hole more than just about anybody else. But it really sort of does start with those three guys, doesn't it? Maybe sprinkle in a little Phil, DJ. They kind of have the same cast of characters.
I'll say this, and I was just thinking about this walking over. And look, for a lot of different reasons, I think this golf course is going to mitigate the really good putters. And we've heard it. We just heard it from Phil. I heard it from Adam Scott. We've heard it from everybody, because everybody's going to be playing for a two-putt. There aren't going to be many birdie putts out there. It's just the nature of these greens. They're so undulating. They're so difficult. You're just trying to put yourself in a position where you can putt. That being said, Jordan is still on my list as favorites. But if he were somehow to win this, it would be the greatest win of his career, because I don't think he would do it the way he did it last year at Chambers Bay or the way he did it last year at the Masters. He's not going to be rolling in one 20-footer after another. He's going to do it with his ball striking. He's going to do it with his brain. He's going to stay below the hole. He's going to two-putt when he has to. I would actually go so far as to say, and I think Dustin on my list would be a little bit higher for the reasons I just said. Ball striking, I don't know that anybody's hitting the ball better than him right now. And he's not going to have those opportunities to have those late-round lapses with the putter.
Except for Dustin Johnson. I said this to Lavner. I said this on this podcast. Dustin Johnson could never be considered the overall favorite until he's won one.
No, I think Jason Day still has to be the overall favorite. He's world number one for a reason.
To go back to, you talk about putting. So, okay, maybe putting. You're still going to have to make 5-6 footers to save par. But then what you're telling me is then lag putting is more important than actual running in 15, 20 footers.
You're not going to have 15, 20 footers for birdie all day long. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. But you are going to have to make your 5 to 10 footers, which I think is why Jordan Spieth, you'd still put him up there, you know, third, fourth, fifth best pick this week, just because he can make those putts with such regularity. But Rex, I would kind of nitpick with something you're saying here, that this would be the greatest victory of Jordan Spieth's career. He's already showed that he can win gritty. He can win ugly. Last year at Chambers Bay, he wasn't making everything in sight. He actually was solid with his ball striking, and he didn't make a bunch of mistakes, save for the 71st hole. But that was a complete contrast to what he did at the Masters. So to me, he's already shown that he can win ugly and win gritty. And I think this kind of test is actually better for him than maybe a shootout.
Oh, I would disagree. No, not at all. Because I look, if you go to the Masters, we all say it, it's a putting contest, right? I mean, that's really what favors him. He's a great putter. I'm not trying to take anything away from the rest of his game. He's very good off the tee, and he's very good with his irons. Is he as good as the other guys that we're mentioning in this conversation? Jason Day, Rory, Dustin Johnson? Absolutely not. He would probably even be willing to tell you that. I'm not saying that he can't get it around this golf course. I'm just saying that given the situation, given the circumstances and the conditions of the golf course, this one would be very impressive. I think it would do away with that label that he's just a putting specialist.
Well, and talking about that too, you know, somebody you said winning this week absolutely would probably be his best accomplishment is Rory McIlroy. Right, in the four majors he's won, his winning score has been between 13-under and 17-under. So every one of these things that he's won, which, as impressive as they've all been, have been...
They're all track meets.
Every single one of them, right? And he, for him to sit there and say, look, I'm not sure if it would be the best, but this would prove that I am absolutely a complete player, right? So, you know, I think we think that, you know, if it rains, that might help Rory a little bit more too, but I don't think we can overlook Rory at all in any major, but... Even this week, where even par is going to be a good score.
And I will say this. Of all the people that came to the media center this week or that I've spoken to on the range, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, they seem to have the best attitudes of anybody I talked to. I
mean, you're winning the press conferences?
They won the press conferences. I think Phil obviously comes into this week with a little bit more hop in his step because of what this means to him. But I loved what Rory said when he was in the media center. He talked about... just trying to be smart playing this golf course. He talked about, no, he's not overwhelmed. That, look, it's going to be difficult for everybody. I just think his mind's in a very good spot.
And he's got a lot of confidence now. He's got that monkey off his back. He hadn't won in more than a year, so he won at the Irish Open. You know, he played decently.
His fifth major.
Yeah, exactly. So he can roll in here, and they're supposed to get some rain on Thursday. You're supposed to get some rain on Friday, so maybe it takes a little bit of the fire out of this golf course. But...
I think
he
that
still
only
has such an advantage with the way that he can shape the ball into these fairways. He's 330 and long. He's coming in there with irons, and he putted pretty well at the Memorial as well. So, Rory, certainly he's probably 1B.
And I like what you said there, Rex, about, you know, Phil and Rory. Whether they can pull it off is one thing, but they're both thinking clearly right now, right? They both know patience. Both of them have said they're only going to hit between, what, two and four drivers, you know, both the par fives and maybe a couple par fours, but they know that they absolutely have to get it in the fairway. And Rory's super aggressive, Phil's super aggressive, but they're both talking about patience and just making sure that we get in the fairway, and then we'll worry about everything. The biggest thing that I took away from Rory was him basically saying that there's a chance he aims for the same spot into every green every day and just deals with whatever putt it is that he faces, right? Well, so he's going to find a spot out there.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to hit it here maybe every day, knowing that it's not going to kill me wherever the ball ends up. And you know what? You don't hear that in a lot of majors, but it's pretty smart.
You're going to make bogey at worst.
Exactly right.
And it's a lot like Augusta National, in that matter, where you're aiming away from a lot of pins. Are we really going to bury the lead? And we walked out of Phil Mickelson's press conference just now, and these words came out of his mouth. The closer they get over the line, the better his chances are.
I didn't understand that because
he does not
have a proven record of when it does cross the line.
Shinnecock being the prime example. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't quite know what to... I love that he said it, but I don't really know what the hell he meant. And first of all, we're not going to go... I don't really think for a second either they're going to go over the line, right? Is this place going to be ridiculously hard?
That's the beauty of Oakmont. You don't have to trick up this golf course. Chambers Bay, you might have had to protect a little bit. This place is plenty tough on some.
Marion, they felt like
members.
This place is going to kick you in the junk 70 to 75 times a day.
Right. I don't think
for those guys, not us.
I don't think it's going to cross the line, but Phil, for some reason, wants it to get there, perhaps, so he can... Who knows?
Total speculation here. You never want to try to crawl inside Phil's mind because that's a very dangerous place to be. Was he actually saying that maybe he's mentally tougher than everyone else in this situation?
I think that's what he was implying.
Yeah.
That he has the skills to handle a situation like that better than anyone else, which is shocking.
He can deal with it when you get the bad bounces and you have to knock it out sideways in the whole 9 yards.
And I don't believe that.
You're not buying it?
Look how bad he was at the Open Championship for 25 years. And I know we're kind of talking about apples and oranges, but one of the reasons why he never came to peace with that place was because he couldn't come to peace with the fact that you could hit it in the middle of the fairway and it might end up in the left junk, right? That's part of the reason why he could. And so saying that he wouldn't mind a U.S. Open course going over the line because he has the tools to be able to deal with something like that showed us for the first 24 years of his life that he can't do it when he flies across the pond. I know it's different, but it kind of isn't.
No, and you're absolutely right. A part of this might be mental games. I mean, certainly Phil's pretty good at that. And this is the one that has escaped him. He talked about this. This is the one I want to win the most. But I found that fascinating.
He's the guy with the most scar tissue. Why would you want to have the most difficult conditions where you can start to have some demons pop up?
Well, and he makes the comment that he hasn't even practiced hitting out of bunkers because every bunker you hit in, you're just going to hit out sideways.
He hasn't practiced on the rough either.
Oh, and the rough.
He'd rather hurt himself in the golf tournament than before
the golf tournament. Yeah. Right in line after what happened last year. And then the last part was, and reading the transcript, I wasn't in there, but how many times did Jason Day say he was stressed?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what that
means.
You've
been listening to that stressed out song a little bit too much. I don't know. I don't know what it means either because, and we talked about this at dinner last night, it was where Rory sort of poo-pooed that whole statement and that maybe, I don't know whether he did it on purpose or not, but Rory
was
in.
I think that's the personality, but yeah.
No, it is. Yeah. Rory was asked afterwards, hey, you know what, Jason Day was in here earlier talking about how he's never been more stressed out, you know, than he is right now, being the number one player in the world and going through all this stuff and everything. And what were your thoughts about when you're Rory's like, no. If you're number one, number three, number eight, or number 20, you're trying to win just the same. So I don't, you know, I don't know. I didn't really like the stressed out line.
Well, Rory tends to la-di-da his way through life. And you can tell Jason kind of wants to validate his number one ranking. He puts a lot of pressure on himself. He's got Tiger in his ear. You know, he wants to make, you know, his big mentor proud. But, you know, it's how everyone handles number one differently. I think Jason's actually done a remarkable job of kind of backing up his play with his ranking. But that was a strange glimpse into his mind. I'm not sure it's going to be the reason why he plays well or plays poorly here, but it was certainly a interesting revelation, to say the least.
Well, and it gives you a glimpse of how bad he wants it. I mean, he's talked about that recently. We talked about this at dinner last night. How many guys on tour really want that spot?
I mean,
he does. No doubt about it. Rory does. Jordan does.
Patrick Reed does.
Once you start getting 5, 6, 7 deep on that list, you start wondering, are these players out there just to make a paycheck? Are they out there to live a comfortable lifestyle and win a couple events maybe over the course of their career? Or do they really want to be the best?
Well, and to bring it back to the guy that's made golf world go round, that's what I've said it a million times about, you know, Tiger Woods wanting to him wanting to wake up every morning for 20 years and beat the crap out of everybody in front of him is pretty impressive because he just wanted to keep doing it and wanted to keep doing it. The more he did it, you know, the more he wanted to.
Jason Day also knows that he's on a bit of a heater here. I mean, he's been injury plagued his entire career. He seems to be in good health, besides a little head cold here that he's battling at Oakmont. But he knows he's probably got a certain number of years where maybe his body's going to give out or he's going to devote more time to his family. So he wants to maximize the time that he does have, how well he's playing, how long he can hit it, how well he's putting, and just kind of ride it out as long as he can.
All right, guys. So, you know, we've beat the golf course to death and the top three, the top four guys that we think. Anybody else, anybody sort of off the radar?
Well, I think dark horse, is that what you're looking for? Because we're having a hard time defining
Rex is going to pick Brandon Grace, just like he did the podcast. Folks, look up the podcast for the Masters Preview Edition.
I'm not gonna back down
from
Brandon
our rental
Grace.
House. He picked Brandon Grace. I think, what, he shoot 80? Completely blew up on the first round, but Rex,
I would love to hear
a convincing argument why Brandon Grace is your big time sleeper this week.
I mean, he made a good run last year at the Chambers Bay, finishing tied for fourth. He proved he can compete.
He also hit it on the railroad tracks on the 70th hole. But go on.
Well, I mean, I don't know that a lot of people were hitting exactly straight on that moonscape. So I think he proved last year with the tie for fourth that he can compete in the U.S. Open on any type of difficult venue. And if you look at his record over the course of this year, he's already won two times around the globe. I don't have a problem with that. I think the dark horse pick was actually what I was going for.
Sure.
Which then we get into the debate of...
What's a dark horse?
Is top 15 really a dark horse?
No. Anybody outside the top 15 is a dark horse. So let's go ahead and take who's number 16. Is that how the rule,
works?
I'm not making the rules, but
yeah, you did make the rules.
You did, actually.
Okay. Folks, I would tune in July 15th when Rex makes Brandon Grace his sleeper for the Open Championship. If we actually are looking at sleepers, I think Brooks Koepka is a good sleeper. I think Lee Westwood, who's actually playing very well into his 40s now.
If we can just recycle US this Open podcast, record. We can just run it in July. That way I don't have to say it again.
The same guys? Sure. Yeah. I think those are two guys to look out for. Snedeker.
Yeah,
kind of like him. Sergio's coming off the win at Nelson.
Here's a better one. Who's going to be this year's David Toms? David Toms in 2007 finished tied for fifth here. You would not have thought that, given the conditions. But who is this year's David Toms?
Jim Furyk?
Maybe. That's good.
He finished second in 2007.
I don't know.
I don't know if he's completely healthy after coming back. Yeah, I mean, that one would be a little
Webb Simpson?
We're just spitballing here, fellas.
Webb Simpson?
I was going to go with Zach Johnson. But yeah.
Zach Johnson does not have a top 25 in his U.S. Open career.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of the point of this.
That would be a dark horse.
That would be a dark horse.
You'd be extremely dark.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you knuckleheads want to do? Do you think Phil actually has a chance to win? I don't want to reopen the whole. Do you think Phil can win this week?
Yes.
Of course he can.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. He played solid the last 2 weeks. There was confidence in – there was so much confidence in him last week in Memphis.
So you said, like, inside the top – 20 or outside the top 20, you pick in?
Absolutely.
I would say right around 20. The thing that gives me hesitation about Phil, yes, he's putting arguably the best he's ever putted in his entire career. He hit less than half the fairways in Memphis. He won't be able to get away with that at Oakmont.
Yeah, never.
No, said he found a fix on the weekend in Memphis when I talked to him about it. And look, this is going to be Phil.
Doesn't Phil always have a fix?
He always has a fix. Just ask him. He'll tell you about it. But here's the deal. He just said it himself. The one thing that's going to hold Phil back, anything less than a win this week, is going to be a disappointment. That is a tough mental hurdle to overcome if you're any player, especially a guy that's been banging your head against the U.S. Open wall for as long as he has. Mm-hmm.
When you get on the back nine Sunday and you think about what happened at Mary and you think about what happened at Wingfoot, you think about what happened at Shinnecock, there's a lot of scar tissue.
It gets to get pretty heavy pretty through. Quick.
Does
it?
Dustin Johnson do it?
Yes, I think we've established that he is.
No, but I mean, here we're talking about what happened last year at Chambers Bay. Is there any baggage
Justin's
there?
There is baggage, but I'm not sure Dustin's the type that's going to dwell on those kind of disappointments.
But until he finally does, it's just, you know, the easy answer is to say no.
Didn't you just write a long story about him on GolfChannel.com?
I talked
about his disposition, how it just kind of just falls right off his shoulders.
Do you want me to get into that? Is that what you're asking?
No, we're good.
I think you should just save it for the July 15th.
Check out golfchannel.com. It's right there.
All right. You guys have anything else to save for yourself? Because
Rex
is
saving himself for the Open Championship podcast.
All right. You're holding back, Rex.
No, I am. I feel solid that Brendan Grace is going to have another good week.
And we can revisit this on Saturday night.
All right.
Once again.
That wraps it up for this special edition of the Monday Scramble podcast from here at Oakmont. Make sure you check out all of our coverage on golfchannel.com and follow us on Twitter. We will see you next time. Thanks for checking in.